Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, February 13th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Before we bring our guest on, we have to let everyone know that we're starting a raffle here at Wing TV.
We are?
And all you have to do is send an email in to be a part of it. But the grand prize isn't going to be books or videos or money. The grand prize is going to be a free hunting trip with the Vice President, Dick Cheney. So, Lisa...
we've got a line coming out the door for that one.
It's amazing. You know what the funniest part was? Is that after he shot this guy, it's lucky he had the Secret Service around him, because he was going to jump on top of him and start gutting him, too.
Yikes.
Jim, you want to enter this contest?
I think I'm
going to
pass.
I think I will, too. Speaking of which, we have as our guest today Mr. Jim Fetzer.
Actually, we should call him Professor James Fetzer. He is a distinguished McKnight University Professor of Philosophy at the University of Minnesota at Duluth. He's also a former Marine Corps officer, the author and or editor of more than 20 books, four of which we have here today to show you. Let me see. I have to look at it this way. American Assassination, The Great Zapruder Film Hoax, awesome books, Murder in Dealey Plaza, and Assassination Science. Now, that's just four of the books. That's a fraction of the books that he's actually written or edited, and we would need a much longer show to show all the rest of them.
And also, we appeared on a show of Wisconsin Public Radio with Jim once. It was a fundraiser.
Duke Skowrich.
Right, and they raised more money on that show with Jim and us on it than they ever did any other show.
Well, let me finish.
Okay.
He's co-chair of the recently formed group Scholars for 9/11 Truth. The website for that is scholarsfor911truth.org. And he also has another website called assassinationscience.com. Mm-hmm.
Right.
I urge you to check both those sites out. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Oh, Lisa, yes, Victor, thank you so very much. It's a pleasure to be on. Actually, those four aren't counted in the 20. We're running about 27
really?
At this point in time.
Very prolific.
I'm humbled.
Yeah. Now, Jim, we want to start off today, and when we discuss this show, we could go into the mechanics of 9/11 again and the controlled demolition, but anyone who's watched this show with any regularity knows that we've done oodles and oodles of shows on that. So what we really want to get into today is the strategy of your new organization, what's behind it. And let me start off by asking you this. If you had a genie in a bottle, okay, and a genie came out and said that you could have anything you wanted as the end result of this new Scholars for 9/11 Truth, what would the end result be? Where are we trying to go with it?
Well, we're talking about a couple of stages, Victor. I mean, what is most important now that the elementary physics of the case is so obvious and so conspicuous, and once any American really understands that the fuel burned too low, that the plane impact had a negligible effect, that the rate of fall was too fast, that the cloud of dust had to come from another source of energy. It can't have been either the fire or the plane, so that you get a smoking gun in watching these buildings come down. They are their own refutation of the government's official account. Points that you and Lisa have made so clear and so well, including in your book, 9/11 on Trial. I hope you have a copy you can show everyone to remind them of some of the many, many contributions you've been making. I think, first and foremost, we must get the word out to the American people. Americans have to understand that this administration does not merely lie about tax cuts, lie about wars, lie about global warming, lie about the significance of practically everything they do, or keep it simply ultra-secret, including, of course, the early meeting between the vice president and these gas and oil companies that basically was turning the foreign policy of the United States over to the gas and oil industry, but that they have to understand that this administration has perpetrated monstrous acts on the American people, that the evidence is overwhelming, that their evasions and deception and deceit about 9/11 conceal diabolical manipulation of the American people. And ironically, by using fear, I mean, the fact of the matter is that the use of acts of violence or threats of violence to intimidate and manipulate a population on the basis of fear is the very definition of terrorism. And I am really trouble to have to conclude, and this is nothing that I have welcomed, but that this administration has actually been practicing terrorism on the American people.
Well, what would be...
Once the American population understands what's going on, then I would believe their motivation to remove power from the hands of this gang that has taken over the administration would mm-hmm. be very powerful. The trouble being that you can have the best intentions of the world, but if you can't actually make your vote count, if electronic voting machines are letting votes come in and different numbers come out, then we are hamstrung. Unfortunately, there's ample evidence that the elections of 2000 in Florida, 2002 in Georgia, for example,
well, 2004
in Ohio, and in Florida again, were essentially stolen using electronic voting machines in the hands of private companies.
Let me get back
to the Republican Party. Well, what is left of it? Because actually, in terms of traditional Republicanism, what you have in Washington today is far removed from the kind of party that I grew up understanding and appreciating for its integrity, to its commitment to balanced budgets, to constitutional government, to a non-interventionist foreign policy, even to keeping the government out of our personal lives.
Jim, hang on a second.
Contradicted, violated, and abrogated in every possible way by this administration.
Hey, Jim.
The lesson of Stalin, that it doesn't matter who casts the votes, what matters is who counts them. And that what the American people have to do is absolutely get rid of paper trailless voting machines. The companies that manufacture these machines have claimed they can't create a paper trail voting machine, but you look at the machine, the name Diebold is the same machine on your ATM. These ATMs operate flawlessly. There's no reason in the world a company like Diebold couldn't create a paper trail for a voting machine, which represents the simplest possible computer programming. There's nothing proprietary about it.
Hey, Jim, can we jump in a second?
We must get the message to the American people. They must appreciate what's going on. They must have appreciation, too, for the profound corruption at work here, including in Congress. Congress needs to be completely reconstituted. If you, Democrat or Republican alike, if they can't justify going back to Congress, get rid of them. Send somebody new, somebody who cares about truth, justice, and the American way. This is what we need, and it can't be done with electronic voting machines.
Hey, Jim, can we jump in now? Jim, we want to get back to 9/11, okay?
Absolutely.
Okay, the question was, what is the end result? What do you want to accomplish with this new group? And we have a lot of questions, so let's bounce back and forth here, okay?
Absolutely.
What's the end result? What do we want to accomplish?
Well, we want to get the message out to the American people, first and foremost. We want them to appreciate that they have been misled and deceived and that something traumatic occurred on 9/11. That is a turning point in American history, which has been used for political purposes by a government that has the interests of the few, the rich, and the powerful at heart, and not those of the American people. That's first and foremost.
Okay. You know what we want? We want them prosecuted.
Yeah. I mean, that's how we would answer that question, because you're a professor of philosophy, and you understand rhetoric and logic, and you know that one of the definitions of insanity is when people do the same thing over and over again, and then they expect different results. Well, being that you studied the Kennedy assassination, and you know about Wellstone
right.
and so forth, everybody always says we need awareness and education, but I've only met two people in my whole life that believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone nut assassin. So everybody's aware of it, but there's been no convictions, there's been no firings, there's been nothing. The official history books still say Lee Harvey Oswald did it. How can we get to the next level beyond awareness?
Well, that's excellent. That's an excellent question. I would like, you know, once it becomes obvious, and I think that there's so many avenues that lead to the truth now, that even the duly constituted authorities, I'm talking about the district attorneys and the attorney generals of the states where these crimes were committed, including New York City and New York State, including Pennsylvania, including the Arlington, Virginia vicinity, ought to open grand jury investigations and present evidence to them and seek to bring indictments.
Yeah, but see, we need an impetus. We need somebody with some weight. You know, and we looked into this, geez, what was it, a year and a half
right.
ago, but we don't have any weight behind us, and that's why we feel your group you know, with so many distinguished people, has the weight and the clout now to get this ball rolling and getting it into.
In fact, at least one of the members of your Scholars for 9/11 Truth is an attorney, isn't he?
Alexander Flown.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Well, the fact is that criminal charges, and these involve criminal charges, are brought by district attorneys. It's not the sort of thing that can simply be filed by an ordinary citizen. What we really have to do is get enough political momentum here to create pressure on the duly constituted authorities who could open a legal investigation here. The problem is the Congress, being a one-party rule, and this, sorry to say, is one of the reasons why Paul Wellstone was taken out, to ensure that the Republicans would have control of the Senate. And, of course, since 2002, they have, and it's been the effects have been traumatic. I mean, when you don't have one party, in effect, standing guard and ensuring the interests of the rest of the people whose interests aren't represented by the party in power, and it just happens that the Republican Party actually ultimately represents a rather small, narrow band of interests of the rich and the very rich. Is Bush said once, you know, during one of these black tie dinners, how he's speaking to this extremely wealthy group, and then some people, you know, say, talk about the haves and the have mores, and how this was his base. I mean, that humor, it had rooted truth, and of course, it's the powerful corporations he's benefiting. What we have to do is to reconstitute Congress. I mean, there's all the justification in the world for an impeachment action to be brought against this President of the United States and this Vice President of the United States, and to get rid of his Secretary of State and his Secretary of Defense and others who have been in collusion with him in perpetrating some of these monstrous acts. Yeah. But it's not going to happen as long as the party is controlled, one-party rule in Congress, controlled by Republicans.
Right. Following 9/11, President Bush advised the public not to tolerate or entertain outrageous conspiracy theories. Yet, the version we've all been handed is more outrageous than its very radically chilling counterpart, which is the controlled demolitions, government inside job, etc. So, how do we get people to get over their inhibitions regarding talking openly about conspiracies? Because people see conspiracies every day in their newspapers, on TV, etc. And they don't realize that that's
such a wonderful question. I mean, I think it comes as a revelation to make the simple point that the government's own account of 9/11, which involves 19 Islamic fundamentalists hijacking four aircraft, acting under the instructions of a leader who is Osama bin Laden, who is secreted in a cave somewhere in the wilds of Afghanistan. I mean, this is a conspiracy theory to top almost any that I've ever heard. It's a conspiracy theory, however, that has many flaws. It's not consistent with the available evidence. It's not even physically possible.
Right.
So the government has no basis to complain about anyone who is talking about conspiracy theories, because the government has advanced its own conspiracy theory, which has motivated those of us who take science seriously and aren't willing to be duped again by this government, which has lied to us over and over and over. We are critics of the conspiracy theory that the government has sought to foist off upon us. So
that's right.
It's really duplicitous, misleading, disingenuous in the extreme to attack critics of their own conspiracy theory as though they were somehow off base on that ground.
Yeah. Now, Jim, getting back to this thing about awareness, and whenever a new company is formed, which is kind of what I liken you guys to, it's a new organization, they always come up with a business plan, a very, you know, formulated business plan, and they have their statement of purpose and their goals and their method of operations, their strategy, the target audience, and so forth. And it seems like with so many different groups in the alternative media, they always say, well, we got to fight the New World Order, but it's so vague that we don't really know even what we're fighting except for some vague concepts. So is there any way that you guys are going to narrow it down and say, this is specifically who we're going to fight, and this is how we're going to go about it, and come to this end goal, which hopefully is, you know, some kind of prosecution of these monsters that did it?
Well, I think, you know, prosecution is a wonderful ultimate goal. I mean, it's not for no reason that this administration has sought to oppose the establishment of an international criminal court. contravened the United Nations Charter.
Right.
It was subversive of the Constitution, which grants our treaties with other entities such as the UN the same status as the Constitution itself. It was a clear violation of the oath this man took to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. The problem is that impeachments and violations of law of this kind, actions taken against them are political in the sense that the Congress has control. If the Congress had any integrity, if the Congress were not completely subservient and dominated by the powerful administration political control, I think that there would have been initiatives to bring impeachment actions against this president a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the squandering of American resources, you know, depletes what America can do for itself. Every time we have a tax cut, that diminishes the government's capacity to benefit and provide services to the American people. Sending our young men, Marine soldiers, sailors, into Iraq, too small a force, too large an area for a war that what didn't need to be fought is not in the interests of the military. So when the argument is made, you know, support our troops, you have to ask, well, what would be in the interest of our troops, or indeed what would be in the interest of our nation? And what would manifestly be in the interest of our troops and in the interest of our nation is bringing them home. I long ago advocated getting the U.S. out and the U.N. in. That is still a reasonable idea because, as even some American generals are concluding, the principal problem that's creating the incentive to attack American forces there is our very presence. We are not viewed as an army of liberation. We are viewed as an army of occupation. And to refer to those who are attacking us as insurgents is highly misleading because from their point of view, they constitute a resistance. They are resisting an army of occupation, just as we here in America would resist an army that attempted to occupy the United States.
Okay, Jim, you're Scholars for 9/11 Truth. You are the co-chair of that group, and you have many respectable members. I think I read 50 now.
And over 100.
Over 100? Oh,
yeah.
You need to update your website then.
It is.
And I want to know if you've made attempts to contact mainstream historians, because when we look at 9/11, the official record is what's going to be going down in history, and the official record is a lie. Have you made any attempts to contact historians to maybe see if this can get...
Well, Lisa, there are a few, you know, historians are starting to take notice. I mean, let me just draw the parallel. I mean, I've been doing this research on the death of John F. Kennedy since 1992 with the best qualified individuals to ever study the case, a PhD in physics who's also an MD and board certified in radiation oncology so that he interprets x-rays and makes life and death decisions with his patients all the time, a world authority on the human brain who is also an expert in wound ballistics, one of the physicians who not only attended the dying president but also his mortally wounded alleged assassin, the legendary photo analyst, a PhD in electromagnetism. Now, we have published, you know, I've chaired or co-chaired four conferences. I published three books of over 500 pages, bringing together the best studies by the best people, created a 4.5-hour video, made hundreds of radio talk shows, and it is still very difficult to get any mainstream historian to take seriously our results, notwithstanding the fact that they are good as gold. So what I say is that, you know, this idea of being able to reach the historians at this point in time is very, very unlikely to yield any success. What we can do and strive to do and have been doing is, as in the case of JFK, bring the truth to the American people so they know their own history. In the case of 9/11, this is all the more vital because this issue is being manipulated by the President of the United States and his group, his gang, his clique, in order to manipulate politics in this country to this day. If the American people see through 9/11, then, you know, the manipulation he's been making, the way in which he's been seeking to instill fear in us in order to perform his bidding by subverting the Constitution through a renewed Patriot Act, for example, by increasing defense funding, all those things that were outlined in the Project for the New American Century, which you can all find online, Project for the New American Century, that was signed by some two dozen neocons, a dozen of whom have prominent positions in this administration. If we pull that prop out from under him by revealing the deceit and deception, the monstrous lies of 9/11, then he really has no political support left. And we can take actions to regain our control of our own government and our own country. That is what I believe we can do now. The historians, I'm afraid, Lisa, are going to be long in the future having to ponder what took place here and why the American media, for example, were so unwilling to bring critical scrutiny to bear upon the actions of this administration, especially involving huge events such as 9/11. And, you know, the massive spying on the American people taking place through the NSA.
Yeah, one last question.
And, you know, global warming. I mean, this is dereliction of duty at the highest level, including by even our most distinguished newspapers, such as the New York Times.
I agree.
Yeah. One last question, Jim. We went down to Washington, D.C. last year, September 24th. There was about 250 to 300,000 people there for an anti-war rally. We also, a couple weeks before that, actually 13 days before, went to Ground Zero for the fourth anniversary of September 11th, and we feel that had the most impact of any other event that there's been so far. We had a 14-foot banner.
And you know what? The public was so receptive.
Yeah, and we want to know if you guys plan anything activism-oriented, and if you can help us get the word out to get people to Ground Zero this year. This is the fifth anniversary. It's a big one.
Yeah.
And I think if we don't get, I mean, there was only about two dozen protesters there last year. If we can't get, you know, thousands of people there, then what is it to show that the anti-war crowd got 300,000 people? Can you help us get people to Ground Zero this year?
Well, I think that's a great idea, and, you know, we are doing everything we can to inform the American people of our discoveries. I mean, far beyond the website, lectures, conferences, symposia, talk shows, television, use community access television. I encourage everyone to get copies of, for example, Loose Change or In Plain Sight or Steve Jones' presentation, all of which are available for free through our website, st911.org. Get those on your community access television. Find your favorite DVDs or CDs that relate to these issues about 9/11 that bring the truth to the American people. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors that you found the work of these experts and scholars and that it's bothered you, and ask them to take a look and see if it doesn't bother them too. I mean, if everyone who cares about this were to inform 10 friends and each of those 10 friends were to inform 10 more friends, everyone in the country would know what is going on within a matter of days.
Well, how about
so
Ground Zero,
you know, we're
going
to do everything we can, including having conferences. And the idea of coordinating one in relation to 9/11 in New York City at Ground Zero is a simply excellent suggestion.
I will endeavor
to pursue that.
Yeah, because if we could get you there and Professor Jones and Morgan Reynolds and David Griffin and so forth, that would really have some clout there. And if we can't get people out there to show the government and New York City and everyone else that we don't buy the lies, then what hope do we have?
Plus, think of the weight that it would have with the everyday people, the 9/11 victim families, hearing directly from respectable members of academia, such as yourselves.
Look, it's a great idea, and I'm grateful to you for focusing on that, because, you know, once it's articulated, it's such an obvious, promising, appropriate, excellent suggestion that I will do what I can to pursue it and see if we can't bring this come to fruition. It's an excellent suggestion, and once again, we are in your debt.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for coming on today. Again, repeat that website one last time for everyone.
ST911.org or scholarsfor911truth.org. You can get there either way. ST911.org. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, spread the word. Let them know that scholars and experts are speaking out about 9/11 and bringing the truth to the American people.
We need your help.
We
also have all of Jim's books here, and he just does impeccable research.
And please also visit Jim's other site, assassinationscience.com. Jim, we thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, Lisa and Victor, I just want to thank you both so very much. You're doing so much good for the 9/11 truth movement. We're all very grateful to you.
Well, keep up the great work and keep us updated, okay?
You've got it.
Take care.
We'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.